Well, I do want to say good morning this morning, this beautiful day that the Lord has given us to meet together as called ministry. Ministry that has been called by God, by the Spirit, and by the people in our local congregations. I'm kind of, as I looked at the topic for the day, mentoring and discipleship, my mind just had to go back a little bit to just a few months ago. I'm from Northwest Ohio, little congregation there called Olive Branch. And there to the west of us, just the next county west of us, is Van Wert County. There's a little town of Van Wert there. And in that little town of Van Wert, in the year of, I think it was 2018, there were some men there that found a law. I think the law was in about 1952, in the early 50s, there was a law that went on the books of the government of our land that said that you could take children and you could take them out of a public school setting during the day, during the school day, with their consent and with the consent of the parent, and you could take them off of the school property and you could give them biblical instruction. And I think up until that point, the Catholics had done pretty well at that. I had noticed that before in Catholic communities, the children walking across the road to the church in the middle of the day, and I kind of wondered about that. Is this legal? So there in Van Wert, these men developed a program. It's called LifeWise. And they had a vision. They had a dream that this could spread across the United States of America. And that in a world where the Bible and God were taken out of the schools, that we could reach children with just biblical knowledge. Who created me? Who am I? Who is God? Who's Jesus? And so they started this program, and there in Allen County, like I say, we're the next county over, the school district that I reside in, Elida, we started that program probably in around 2000. And as that has progressed, every school in our county has adopted that program. I think there at Elida we have 600 or 700 students now that go off the school property every day just to have some biblical instruction. And so the program there in our county, they decided that it would be good if every other month that we would get any minister, any pastor of any church in our county, if we would all get together for breakfast, time of prayer, a time of association, a time of fellowship, a time of learning about what's happening in the LifeWise program. And so a few months ago, probably 3 or 4 months ago, I found myself at that breakfast. I try to go when I can. And I found myself sitting beside the pastor of the largest church in our county. And as we ate breakfast together there, I just asked him, I said, as a pastor of the largest church in our area, what is your biggest challenge? And this was his answer to me. He never hesitated. He said, making disciples out of Christians. Making disciples out of Christians. And then he gave me some figures that were staggering. They have 2,100 members. 700 of them attend church regularly. And to be on the attend church regularly list, you had to come at least twice a month. And so out of those 700 that attend church regularly, 30% of those are active members. And he said, I'm going to tell you what I mean by an active member. That means that you don't come to church when it's starting and come in and sit down, and when the preacher says amen, you get up and leave. 70% are inactive, yet they come to church. This is his words to me. And then 30% are active members, and that's those that would be involved and that would come to the functions that we have and would participate. And probably 5 or 10% of those are members that would develop those programs and would be at in the leadership positions administering those programs. And so as he spoke that to me, I just thought, I come from a congregation of 18. And I have the very same issues with 18 members as he has with 2,100. And so we're all called to the ministry. We're all called to make disciples out of Christians. Some of us are young. I look back here and I see young men. Some of us are young when we're called. Some are older. I was 52 years old. Some of us have large districts. Some of us have small districts. But the work is the same. The work is the same. Every soul matters in God's eyes. So just for a few moments this morning, I want to look just a little bit. If you want to, you can turn your Bibles to the 4th chapter of Exodus. I'm going to start reading in the 10th verse. And I'm just going to go to two different chapters, and I'm going to show you what happens when people are called to make disciples out of Christians. This is actually the Old Testament before Christ's time. But so in the 10th verse of the 4th chapter of Exodus, this is kind of cuts in right in the middle of God calling Moses to the ministry. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither there here thereto, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Can any of us relate to that? Can any of us relate to that? And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Send somebody else. I just can't do this. Brethren, you can't do it. You cannot do it on your own. But the Lord can. He's bigger than all of us. Let's turn now to Isaiah. For a few verses in Isaiah. In the 6th chapter. Isaiah 6. In the, I think we'll just start in the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings, and twain he covered with twain he covered his face, And with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, 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 the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is filled of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Two different attitudes that were manifested when God called to the ministry. Now I know that when we're called to the ministry, when we're called to mentor, when we're called to make disciples out of Christians, that sometimes the assignment looks impossible. And it feels impossible, I know that. And sometimes we're sure that God has chosen the wrong one. I can't speak. I've heard that before. I just can't do this. We're sure that he's chosen the wrong times. And sometimes we're asked to love the unlovable. That's part of our ministry, brothers. Is to love those who seem to be unlovable. My daughter goes to a church 2 hours east of me. Her and her husband and their 5 children. It's a small church. And one Sunday after church, the minister stood up to make announcements. And as he was making announcements, somehow he came across the fact that the next Sunday that he would not be there. He wasn't going to be at church the next Sunday, and there would be some other minister there. He had that lined up. And about that time, a woman in the congregation started rebuking the minister. They had never seen this before. This isn't common. And she just started railing on him. And in her speech to the minister as he stood there, she said, The congregation feels this way. That was in her comments. This is the way the congregation feels. And she went on to tell him how the congregation felt. So my son-in-law and my daughter and the children went home that day and weren't feeling so great about all of that. And so my son-in-law picked up the telephone and he called the minister. And he told the minister, he said, I want to clear something up with you. He said, when she stood up to talk, she said that this is the way the congregation feels. And he said, I want you to know that we don't feel that way. That's not how we feel. And the first words out of this minister's mouth to my son-in-law over the telephone was this: Was I kind? Was I kind? Brothers, if we're going to be ministers of the gospel, We need to ask ourselves that question when we get into situations where we're having to love the unlovable. Sometimes we're called to bring help to a hopeless situation. We've all been there. What do I say? What do I say when I get there? This looks hopeless to me. And I'm supposed to bring encouragement. You know, brothers, sometimes we don't need to say anything at all. Just a hug. Just silence. But your presence. We're going to be asked to move outside of what's comfortable and familiar. And sometimes we're going to be asked to stand on the truth that's unpopular with the world. But it's the truth of God. And that's becoming more and more prevalent as time moves along. We're going to be asked to stand on the truth, even when it's unpopular in the world we're living in. But don't lose hope, because our confidence, the confidence we have, is lost when we focus on our weaknesses instead of His power. So as we go forth in this ministry that each one of us has been called to, it's not us. It's not about us. We're all weak. We all don't know what to say. We all don't know where to turn. But we have a God that knows. We have a God that we can rely on that knows. I want to go now to Judges in the 6th chapter of Judges. And it's 7:30 already, and I was supposed to talk to 7:30. So I'm going to have to go quickly here. But in the 6th chapter of Judges, I was going to read about this whole chapter, but I think I'm just going to go through it here. The 6th chapter of Judges, Israel again had sinned. The Midianites were oppressing them. They're calling out to God. God sends a prophet. The prophet calls Gideon. And Gideon is called to be a savior of the Israelites. He's called to defeat the Midianites. We all know the story. And Gideon starts with excuses. I was going to read this, but he's just least in the house of Israel. His father's house is nothing. I can't do this. I can't do this, God. Give me a sign. Give me a sign. God gives him a sign. He's called. He goes to the work. And then I just want to start here at the 24th verse. And it says here that Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and he called it Jehovah Shalom. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord, and you will find in the next few verses that Gideon sacrificed. And so, brethren, I want to suggest this to you, that when we're called by God, and we're called by the Spirit, and we're called by our congregation to minister to them, that we need an altar. If we don't come before the throne of God, if we don't have an altar to come to, we'll fail. We can't do this on our own. Only by the power and the strength of God can we do this. And it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take sacrifice on our part. Hebrews 13 says it like this. We have an altar. We have an altar. In the Old Testament, you'll notice as Abraham moved around, as Gideon moved around, various other characters of the Old Testament, the first thing they would do is build an altar to worship God. That's the first thing they would do. But Hebrews tells us we have an altar. We don't have to build one. In fact, He built us. Our altar created us. We can go to the feet of Jesus Christ anytime, any place, anywhere. We have an altar. And we need to use it. That's the first place we need to go, is to our altar. It's kind of interesting. You remember the woman at the well? She says, "Now I know that you worship here and we worship here." And Jesus says, "The time's coming." And it's where we're at now, brothers. The time's coming, and now is, that we need to come to our altar, the Lord Jesus Christ, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if we will do that, the indwelling spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ will be our guide, our comfort, as we go out into this world that we're living in, and as we take our little congregations, our big congregations, our medium-sized congregations, and as we make disciples out of Christians by the help of the Holy Spirit. Won't we all stand in prayer? Father God, our Father in heaven, Creator of the universe, Creator of the most, the largest, the biggest things, Creator of the smallest, most minor things. We just come before you this morning. Here at the start of a conference of a group of believers that have been called to the ministry, Father, called to shepherd flocks, called to be servants. Father, each one of us want to do your will. Help us, Father. Help us as we meet situations that look bigger than we are. And we know that'll come. Thank you, Father, for the past, for showing yourself strong when we have met these types of situations. Father, just continue with us throughout the conference. We want to pray for the rest of the speakers throughout this conference, Father, that you would just be mouth and wisdom to them. Father, bring their notes, but Father, more than that, give them the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, give them things to utter, things that we need to hear, things that would edify this body, this group of believers, and would glorify you. Forgive us where we have failed. We know that we're failing creatures. Thank you so much, Father, for the gift, for your Son Jesus, who came into the world, walked, died, and rose again. Father, just give us the life and the light of the resurrection. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.